Listening Dog Media.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
He's one of England's most capped international players.
Seaman is the man here.
He's one of the world's most decorated goalkeepers.
And it's somehow kept out by Seaman. That is a fantastic save.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
And Seaman, what a magnificent save.
Hear him.
Breathtaking.
Like never before.
Hello and welcome to Seaman Says with me, David Seaman, and Lindsay Hooper. Today, we're joined by a Premier League legend, the invincible Sol Campbell. How are you?
I'm right.
It's brilliant having you on, mate.
It's been a long time.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
You've been busy?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Doing all sorts of courses and visiting training grounds. And I was in Turkey the other week. That was quite nice. Showed me around the FA. It's good. Went to Bucharest as well. Watched the game against them versus Ajax. That was a good game.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, the crowd. It was only, I think, like 16,000. But, God, the noise they can make. Fantastic fans out there. So it was just nice to kind of look around and see how other football teams are doing. And that's what I'm doing. That's my first one. And I'm going to go to Germany. I might go to Bayern, check them out as well for a week.
Do you know when you go? Do you go to the training grounds as well?
Go to the training grounds, watch training. And then obviously the Turkish one, I went to the Turkish FA. So that's a really good facility. Really, really good. I'm not saying I'm surprised, but it's done really well. The architecture's lovely. The grounds are great. The pitches. There was a referee, FIFA referee course going on at that particular time. So it was quite nice. So they're open for business. It's a really good kind of center there. Did a couple of interviews over there as well. So nice. We just see how things. Yeah. I think for me, it's all about, why you're not, working. I'm learning, I'm going to other places and taking notes and watching how other associations, other clubs, other managers are doing things.
Do you know when you go abroad to different clubs, do you find that they're more receptive to you and more friendly? I just pulled my ears out.
I think sometimes, I don't know, maybe you can't be king of your own country all the time. I think sometimes people are always going to welcome you a little bit more because they've never seen you. And they've just got what you've done in your career. They haven't got anything else going on. There's no extra grind. They see the quality. They see the level you've played at, the consistency, and the also the longevity as well. Like, not 10, it's 20 years. Of quality football. So anyone can do, 15, 20 years at the top in any industry. I mean, it's not luck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what about when you go to, have you been to many Premier League clubs to watch training?
I've watched when it went to Everton. That was organised by the LMA. The few managers watched Benitez. That was quite nice for a day. It was good. Benitez is very open, allowed us to kind of access to training. That was good. Watched the whole kind of session, and then also the talks around it. A couple of his staff came in and talk as well, so it was good to kind of be there and see a top manager, and it's very open. That's what I liked about Benitez. It was very open, so it was good. I'm gonna eventually go down to Patrick as well, see him. I'm going to, call him and, watch him as well train and see how that all kind of pans out. Be quite nice. I've just got to call him. I've just got to, fit the time. He's busy, but I'll be able to go there and just watch him and see him at work because it's a top man, Patrick.
Have you been back to Arsenal at all?
No, not been to Arsenal.
No.
I know you've been there. You've been back.
Yeah, I've been doing a bit of goalkeeping coaching and that. When did you leave Arsenal?
Oh, 2006, 2007. Yeah.
Mate, honestly, it has changed so much, the training ground.
Yeah.
Added on and made it better. You go in like where we used to go in for the main for our main entrance. Yeah. Our Wenger's office used to be on the right hand side. That's all changed. That's all down. the left-hand side where the youth team used to get changed. That's all down the manager's side. Mm. There's a whole new youth development
center
block. Mm. Yeah, now you know, and it's it's really changed, but really, really good as well.
High quality.
Mm. Yeah, you know, and a lot more facilities and stuff. But
facilities or quality? Facilities or winning things, championships, yes. FA Cups.
An invincible. Oh, no.
I don't know. What do you want? There is a limit. There is a limit. There is a happy kind of. You've got to get the balance right. You know, don't get me wrong, pitches have got to be great and things like that, because you don't want, you know, anyone having injuries and things like that. But there's a way of like, is it too much? And almost you become like it's too comfortable. You know, you've got to find that balance between really sparkly, kind of amazing training ground, but the functionality of the training ground and also keeping people on their toes. Is it down to the staff, the management, and, you know, all those kind of things to make sure players and the individual players to make sure with their self kind of wealth, like, hey, I'm proud of, you know, it's a nice facility, but hey, I'm going to get down and work and see what I can do for my football club. So there is a balance. Yeah. You've got to get
the
balance.
So basically, it shouldn't be too much of a leisure centre down there. It shouldn't have too much of a soft feel.
Well, I think you know, you've got to find a balance. You have to find a balance. If you're not careful, players become very comfortable and very quickly. And to get them out of the cycle, you know, it can be a traumatic process for everyone concerned.
Yeah, and you look at like Pep, and he's got that perfect, that perfect balance, and you know, because their training ground is amazing now. Mm. You know, it's all at the ground, it's all a massive centre there. Mm. But you can see that the way he manages, he gets everybody happy, but still gets them
not
to produce
too comfortable,
their best.
Not too comfortable.
Yeah.
There's only so comfortable you can be, surely, when you're out training in the elements in Manchester, as we discussed earlier on the episode. It just rains all the time and it's bloody cold up there.
Yeah, you've got to get the balance right, though. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you hoping to get back into management?
Do you know what? I think for me, it's all about a journey for me. I'm just trying to kind of become, learning from other managers, other coaches. If something comes up, you know, I'm making the right noises. I'm talking to people. I'm having kind of, you know, little coffees, things like that. I'm going out there. So if everything seems to have to click. Everybody around the table have to say yes. And also football is so much, you know, it's all about opinions, you know, and sometimes opinions, if you're not careful and you're listening to the wrong opinions, you can actually miss out to, you know, good coaches and good managers because someone said X, Y, Z. You know, sometimes you've got to, I think for me in football, I know you can't always have the interviews and things like that, but to really learn about someone, if you want that particular coach or manager to manage your team, you've got to speak to them. Don't always wait for someone to filter for you, because you don't, that filter may be totally, you know, for their own causes. You know, you can miss out a really good manager and, you know, give people a chance and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can only assess people's character by meeting and speaking to them.
Yeah. And also I think sometimes, you know, with football, some of the people who are making the decisions are looking at you from when you're playing days, when that's you're a totally different human being. Do you know what I mean? Like you had to be on it. You had to be aggressive. You had to win. You were up and down. The fans against you, the fans for you. You know, I'm not saying it's messed up, but you had to really protect yourself and be like super focused. You know,
you hear that the guys that do the change, you know, that are like straight out of retirement and straight into managerial jobs, they always say the hardest part about that is the players, is getting the players to treat you as a manager and for you to treat them as your players rather than your teammates.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm all right. I've been retired for a long time, so that's way gone. You know, I'll be waiting. Just get. I'm ready for it. I'm ready now. So I don't know. I think sometimes
I'm more than ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to kind of get involved. But it's got to be the right club. I've been burnt a couple of times. I've put everything into my heart, my soul, my spirit, You know, they did all right, and you know, under really tough circumstances. I don't really want to get back in that kind of level again. Yeah. I want to take my time. I want to manage. I love football. I want to kind of, you know, I want a new career, but I understand I have to wait. I understand there's, you know, there's moments that things have to all, you know, oh, serendipity, everything's got to click together. I don't know. Who knows? And just keep on pushing and see where or yeah. who is listening. You know, I've done a few podcasts and things like that. And, you know, so I'm just going to just keep going and see. Someone has to say, yeah, you tried ABC, you've tried this manager, that manager, you know, every Tom, Dick and Harry manager, you've gone sideways, backwards, you know, give me a chance. And for me, I'm not even, you know, for me, opportunity or chance. For me, an opportunity is if, you know, I'll take that. I'll take a chance. I'll take an opportunity. I don't need yeah. a pre-season to kind of show my worth. I don't mind if I've got a decent club and I've got, I don't know, 15, 18 games to go to show what I can do. That's a chance. Yeah.
Would you move abroad for it? Would you consider yeah. going?
I am looking at abroad, yeah. Yeah. I've been looking at it, yeah, yeah. You know, football's played all over Europe, you know, all over the world. You know, there is a, you know, there could be, you know, a distance limit. You know, I don't want to go too far, but I'm prepared to kind of look. I'm prepared if something yeah. makes sense and it's good and they've got, you know, the good club and they say, look, hey, so do you fancy doing this and it works and it's good competitive league? Mm. Oh, look at it. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Patrick at the moment, Vieira, and what he's doing at Palace? Because, we've spoken a lot on this podcast and the way that he's transformed that team, that club after Roy had them for so many seasons is incredible. Mm.
Yeah, I think for Patrick, he's come in. Obviously, he wasn't the first choice. A few people let the post go. And, you know, I'm, you know, in a way, sometimes, you know, it happens like that. And he's there. You know, I know him. Dave knows him big time. He'll do his best. He's very experienced. He's got so much pride. He knows how to get the team prepared. He's got good coaching staff. His name is above the door now, so he'll want to do well. And that's his nature. He's got the qualities, he's got the skill, he's got the temperament, and I hope he does, you know, fantastically. And he is doing fantastically well now, and he's a top manager.
Yeah, I think what you see in Patrick is you see like identical as what he was as a player. Mm. You know, like off the pitch is this really nice, easygoing lad. Mm. But like as soon as he stepped on that pitch, he became someone else. Mm. And I think you see that with his management. You know, he's really passionate about it. You can see, you know, his reactions as well. Like, you know, he's suffered a couple of like really late equalisers and losses. And, you know, you could tell that he's...
Brighton was the, one of the...
Yeah, you know, like, you could tell, you know, he's devastated Rockets. About it. Mm. You know, so Arsenal. He's really... Yeah, exactly.
they played really well. I sent them a message. Yeah. I said, you play really well. And, you know, it's, you know, I've been an ex-captain at Arsenal. It's probably, he was like, he was calm about it, but inside, I bet he was raging.
So close, yet so far.
I'll show you lot. This is what I'm about.
But speaking of Arsenal, Saul, what do you make of them? Did you see them against Everton?
Yeah, I think for me, two bad teams. I know there's been a lot of flack going on. I know there's been a lot of flack going on there. And you know, everyone's saying Everton was there for the taking. But, you know, Everton's, you've got some parks, it's not easy. No. The fans are kind of a little bit protesting and then you've got to, almost got to bring them along. And I think the Everton players started to, you know, almost... I don't know. It was the first time maybe they started to kind of play for the manager. Do you know what I mean? Mm. They started to play for the managers. Like it was a bit of a pressure cooker because you didn't know if it went the other way. I mean, the fans some of the fans wanted maybe it to go wrong so they can justify themselves. And it went well for Benitez. He's a top manager. I know the sporting director has left. When I was there, obviously there was a little bit of going on there. the obviously the hierarchy over, you know, have kind of said, hey, I want Benitez, and obviously he didn't want Benitez, so that's a big problem, internal problem. But Benitez has kept it, you know, kept it kind of under wraps and kind of calm, and allowed his football knowledge to and skill to do the talking. But it was everyone saying Arsenal is there for Arsenal to kind of, you know, maybe get a win there, but it wasn't. The fans got behind the players started to really respond, and, you know, almost got through their not enthusiasm, but the, I mean, the endeavour, and you know, a couple of really good goals, and I think that was just, you know, took them over the line. And obviously with Arsenal, you know, loss, another loss, after a really good run, I think, I don't know where they are. You can't always rely on, you know, Saka and Smith Rowe and all these young players. I think there's got to be a balance between the older players stepping up. Aubameyang, and I know he's going through a tough time now. Lacazette coming on. Don't know if he wants to stay. It's a little bit, I'm not saying transition kind of moment, but it's you get this in teams. You know, you get this in teams that players are, you know, they're at the stage of their career, they're still good, but are they listening to the manager? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The young ones probably are, because they want their career and they want to keep on, they'll listen and they'll work hard. But it's the middle guys who are, you know, 5 years left in their career, maybe kind of, you know, they've got their own, you know, their own characters, and maybe they're not listening as much. I don't know. Maybe they're not putting the yards in them as, you know, every week in, week out. So it causes a conflict and difficult kind of moments, and you've got to get everyone on board. And I'm sure Arteta is trying to do that, but, you know, Arsenal's a big club and massive club, but there is, you know, you get players back end of the career. And I've seen, you know, I've been involved in that, where you've got 5 years in the career. So, well, you know, if it doesn't tick all your boxes, you switch off. Not switch off. You be professional, but you don't go that extra bit. And are they waiting for another manager to come in, or are they waiting to just get, you know, I'm leaving this January transfer window and I'm going off. I want to enjoy my last 4 or 5 years of football. I don't know.
Yeah, when I saw the team against Everton, and I saw that Aubameyang had been left out, I was like, I felt that was a good decision, because he's not full of confidence at all. You know, we've seen that with a couple of chances he's had, and he's not massively contributing in the games as well. And then when I saw it, you know, I was like, yeah, that was like the right decision for me. Would you agree with that?
I mean, you know, he's one of his biggest misses, he hit the post the other week.
Is it Newcastle, is it? Yeah.
You know, the quality of him, he should be knocking that in.
I know.
The quality. Yeah. You're 3 yards out, just need to concentrate, connect, and it's in. So I think for me, he's done incredibly well, you know, scoring goals, FA Cup finals, scoring loads of goals, being a talisman for Arsenal for, you know, a number of years. It's like, I don't know, something's changed in the dressing room. Mm. He's changed mentality-wise, and he wants to kind of, I don't know, have a fresh start. I'm not too sure. Or, you know, as I said, the manager, they're not listening to the manager anymore. You know, that's the thing. You know, and it's either like, you know, I don't know, it comes to a stage that you have to find out who's sticking or moving, or you're staying, you're moving, or, you know, because the team needs to move on, the team needs to kind of crack on, the team needs to kind of get going in the game. You don't want to stop start kind of mentality, play well for like 5-6 games, and then you drop off for like 4-5-6 games. You add that in the whole season, you know, it's not top four.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. I was saying the consistency of the club at the moment is not there. You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. Mm. You know, but do you feel that Arteta? I feel Arteta's the right guy. You know, it was a massive job for his first job, wasn't it?
Huge job. It's, you know, very privileged to have Arsenal's one of the biggest clubs in the world, and having a job like that after being an assistant for a long time. That's a lot of faith, you know, the hierarchy. And they've given him time as well, and they've given him money. We have to see, you know, how it goes and get behind him and see if he can, you know, get it over the line and get at least European football this year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and even though I'm going in probably once a week and I'm with the under 23 goalkeepers more than I see the first team, you know, I see the changes he's made and I see the standards that he expects in training. You know, it's a lot like when Arsene was there and when like when you came. You know, the standard in training was really high, wasn't it? You know, you couldn't like have an easy morning.
Yeah, you get exposed. You get exposed and you go home crying, you know, to your missus or whatever. So, oh my God. And then you have nightmares until the next day. And then you had to kind of rectify it with a better performance. In training, not a game.
Exactly, because you knew that you could get dropped from training. You know, you could get like dropped from the team, and then someone who had been really good in training, Arsene would pick them, wouldn't he?
Yeah. So you had to be on it.
I see that with Arteta. I see the demands that he makes on players in training, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, this is good, you know. But like you say, it just needs that togetherness.
Togetherness also you need to realise is, are the set of players going to do it for you? You know, that's the thing. You know, does he need another 100 million, you know, next season to kind of, you know, get the players he needs? You know, that's the situation. Yeah. I know he spent 150 million and it's a lot of money, but come next year, he probably need to spend not as much, but, you know, keep the really good ones and add that again. That's the problem, because there is a balance between getting everyone right and moving players on and then getting the young ones right and getting how you want to play. But in the end, you will need a little bit of money to kind of get those ideal players that will make the difference, you know, because if you don't get those players, you're asking everyone to kind of lift their standards. And they once they lift their standards, it still needs a little bit of help with a couple more players to just give you something different.
Yeah. The experienced players, you need to get that balance of experience and youth. You need to get that exactly right, you know, because like what you said, you know, you can't expect the young players to be producing all the time. Because when they have a little bit of a dip, you know, you need the experienced players to pull them through, you know, and that's what...
Well, experienced players to hold it together. Hold it.
Yeah.
Stay in the game.
I was going to ask you, with your sort of, with a manager's cap on, does the way Arsenal are playing at the moment, does that excite you? But also, like when you were, say, for Southend or Macclesfield, did you have a certain way did you have a philosophy that you believed in, that you set out your team a certain way? Or do you look at the players you have at your disposal and you go, okay, well, I want to play this way, but I know X, Y, and Z can't play like that, so I've got to set out a team.
Yeah, you have reality. You have to do that. There's a way. I love to play football. I've always played football wherever I've been as a youngster. I love players who express themselves and things like that. And I love defenders who can defend. I love midfielders who can take people on and create things. I love forwards that are really quick and clever in the box and things like that, and, you know, robust. So I love a team that can move, mobile team, because I've always been, you know, that way of a player. But if you have certain players in your team and you want to play this beautiful kind of football, but, you know, counter-attacking when you can, and you can't do it because of budgets or just personnel can't do it, you have to slightly adapt. You have to tweak a little bit, keep some of your ethos, your philosophy, because you don't want that completely going out the door. Like, you like playing football, then in the end, you're just kicking it long. You don't want to do that, because in training, you can teach, you can train some players, every single player, to kind of move up another 5-10% in their game, and also train to make them aware of scenarios so they get better. And then, yes, after a while, it's the level, it's the quality of the player that will kind of come through and make the difference. If you got the money, or you're lucky enough to have a really good youth policy and you've got some fantastic players. But, you know, sometimes you've got to, I'm not saying cut your cloth, but sometimes you just got to say, look, I'm going to play some of my type of football, but there's moments when I'm going to make sure don't take a risk here and there. You know, you've got to be adaptable.
Yeah, Tony said that he found that problem when he was at Wickham. He said he found it hard because he was asking players to do certain jobs that they couldn't. You know, he was expecting them to play like what he'd been used to at Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, but also
I feel sometimes you have to you know, is repeating, repetitive. You know, you've got to keep on going over scenarios.
Like a muscle memory maybe, you need to build into.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, until they get it. And then it's all levels. It's all relative, you know. You look at the Premier League players at this level and Championship, some of them can get up there and some of them will stay at Championship level and League One, some will stay at League One. It's all relative. You know, and you just have to tweak your mind or slightly change the system to protect some players on the pitch. Like sometimes you might have a really, you know, really good at the ball, but he can't be moved. So you might just put another player in the midfield just to protect him and get the best out of him. And just and that's a manager as well, recognizing the strengths and the weaknesses in your own team and protecting it. Yeah.
Are you enjoying a lot of the Premier League teams now playing this high press? And obviously they're doing it in slightly different styles, but you've got you know, Pep doing it his own way, and then you've got Klopp, and now you've got Ralf Rangnick coming in at United with this, you know, they call it the gegen press, where they've got to turn over the ball within 10 seconds and they've got to take a shot within 8 seconds, and this kind of German philosophy. What's your thoughts on that? Are you enjoying watching it?
I'm enjoying watching it, and you know, if I was an opposition, I'd be training my team to counteract that, and that's what it's all about. You know, high press, I mean, you can't press everywhere, and if you've got a couple of good players, you just counteract it. Yes, they might get away with it, but then for me, all I have to, you know, if I was opposite, I'd be doing both. I'd be playing play, long play, short play, long play, short. And, you know, and then people have to guess. You can't press me, I play long. I've got good guys at the front who can hold the ball, and then we're going to turn you. They'll drop off. And I give the freedom for the players to see that. I'm not going to say play every single time out of the box because they're set up to do that. I want to keep you guessing. Like as a player, I kept the forwards guessing. I'm not going to do every single thing the same thing. I want my players to be able to think outside the box as well, you know, safely. I like that. You know, it's good. It's good to put people under pressure because then you see, you know, the quality and if they're any good.
Yeah, exactly. So would you, I know it's a totally different subject, but would you have been happy with trying to play out the back with me behind you as they do nowadays?
Answer carefully.
But we might have to go back and like pick up scenarios. You can still pick the ball up probably. Then I'll be happy. Everybody happy.
Yeah, don't pass it to my left foot.
For me, I get that because we're from, you know, the different era. So for me,
we've never been coached that way, have we?
Yeah, and if you had that since you're, you know, 16, 17, 18, you're a different player. Yeah. You've had the academy, everyone's playing that way, blah, blah, blah. But you got, I think the freedom you have to have within your play is that you have that kind of training process that you can do both. You can play it out from the back or play long. You know, that's we didn't have that at keepers. You know, not many keepers were doing that when I was growing up. Yeah, we had to play from the back, and I only had... As a youngster, you know, you pass it back to the keeper and can pick it up. You know, I was in between. You can't pass back to the keeper. Just have to pass it back to him to kick it or make another angle, things like that. So, you know, you just got used to it. You know, I had a little bit pass back, picked the ball up when I was maybe, I don't know, 12, 13, 14. You know, by then, come 18, 19, 20, that was almost phased out. But I'm sure quality keeper. You had the same... You know, the same kind of pathway as some of these other goalkeepers, then it'd be just a norm. It'd be normal because you're technically fantastic. So it's great.
Yeah. Mate, it's been really interesting having you on.
Nice.
I can't wait for you to get back into management because you can feel your passion for the game.
I know. I want to be back in, but, you know, it's got to be the right situation. It's got to be right, you know, chairman. And, you know, the famous thing, you know, with Alex Ferguson, he said, like, you know, don't pick your club, pick your chairman. And that really, really, really resonates with me. Right. Massively.
Brilliant. Loved it, mate. Well, nice. Hopefully we'll see you back in the game very soon.
Yeah, I want to be, yeah. Get you as my goalkeeper coach. I'll get you as a goalkeeper coach, yeah? Get you in.
Oh, there might be an offer there.
David, mate, get in there, mate. See, we've got too much quality. I'm surprised Arsenal just woke up. One day a week, I think you should be there full time. Honestly, it's ridiculous. You're a top man. I mean, unbelievable.
Too busy fishing, mate.
Well, you don't do night fishing instead. You got all the day.
Exactly. Like I used to. Take some of the players with me, apparently.
Yeah. They might need a bit of patience. That's what it's good for, patience.
Exactly. Exactly.
Frank, you're going to give me the pass to go night fishing.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's in the garden now, so she can't. She knows where I am. Brilliant, Sol.
Brilliant.
Thanks so much, mate.
See you, Adam. Cool. Adam. All the best.
Thanks, Sol.
Cheers, pal.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
This is a Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.